flames raging high, the waters around them trouble their minds. Fear filled their hearts, they felt they would die. They failed to remember that the Master was nigh. Then he spoke the words and the winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed his will. He calmed their storms just like he will mine. If I just remember, he lives deep inside. Oh, why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he is always so near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible, when he walked with them, brought light to the darkness when the way grew so dim. How great it would be to have his footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. And when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master. I know he'll get there on time. And when sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. Oh, why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he is always so near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Oh, why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he is always so dear. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by.
Amen. Thank you, Meredith. I'm glad that we can call upon the name of the Lord even in the storm. And we are certainly headed for a storm. I want to talk to you about that just a little bit. There's three simple thoughts that I'd like to bring to your attention from the Word of God this morning. We are studying through the book of Genesis. And all this week, I've just been thinking about some things that are taking place, not just in a national scene, but really in a global scene around the world. There seems to be some panic about the virus and various things that are going on, not just, as I said, in our country, but around the world. These are perilous days. They're perilous times that we live in. But I have some hope from the Word of God that I want to share with you. This is not the first time this old world has seen perilous times, and it's certainly not going to be the last. We know that there's a great tribulation period coming, a time of sorrow that Jesus said that this world has never seen, nor will ever see. And we'll talk more about that in tonight's service. I want you to look, if you would, to the scripture that Pastor David read in your hearing. As I said, I have three simple thoughts I want to bring to your attention. And they're simple, but they sure are packed with biblical truth. And so I want you to listen very carefully to the message that God's laid on my heart. I've been contemplating how to approach these verses of scripture. There's so much in the life of Noah and what God asked him to do in building the ark. There's so much about the flood, and was it universal? Was it just territorial? I believe it was a universal flood. Don't know any way you could read the Bible and not come up with that fact. It as a universal flood, it impacted the whole world. Just like I believe that the judgment of God that is to come is going to impact the whole world and not just a territory. If it was going to be just in a territory, if I'd have been Noah, I'd have just put my family up and moved them somewhere where the flood wasn't going to be. Amen. And some things that these people come up with, that it's just simple to think it through. I wonder if people think things through. But the Bible has the answer. If we'll just read the Bible in its entirety and let Scripture interpret Scripture, we'll get our answer. Amen. And so I want you to look at something here that's concerning. And so the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to begin with some bad news. Now, I'm not going to end with bad news, but I'm going to give you some bad news. The Bible has a lot of news in it. And it has some good news. That's what the gospel means. The gospel means good news. And I'm glad for the good news that Jesus saves. And we're going to talk about that. But the Bible also has some bad news. And so we're going to give the bad news first. The bad news is that there was a man by the name of Noah that was born in the early years. When I say early, I mean by this time, hundreds of years old was the earth. And we find this man Noah, and his name means rest. And I'm believing in my heart that God sent Noah to remind the people that there was going to come a time when there would be rest, even though the society in which he was born in was in a great unrest. And so we read about this society, and there's some things that I want you to notice. When you compare some of the scripture in chapter 4, if you'll remember, we were looking at last week, in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, in the book of Genesis, you'll find that the civilization that Noah lived in was far advanced than what a lot of people will try to have us to believe. Now, brethren, I do not believe in cavemen. I do not believe in evolution. I do not believe in that people grunted and men used to drag women around by the hair of the head, and they looked at fire and made noises, you know, and just that stared at each other real dumb looking. I don't believe in that a bit. I believe what the Bible teaches, and that is that God made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And God put him to sleep, took a rib from him, and from that rib he made a woman named Eve, and he brought them together. And they came together, and God performed a ceremony, and they became man and wife, and they were both naked and not ashamed. We looked at that in the scripture, and then we've seen where they brought sin into the world by disobedience to God's word. And then the world began to populate, and the world began to grow. And we've seen where a man by the name of Cain, their son, killed his own brother. And in chapter 4, in verse number 16, we elaborated on this last week. The Bible says this, that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. What a sad statement. And unfortunately, as Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, many people began to live that lifestyle. They began to live life without God. And I want you to keep that in mind, because we have that in our society today. Life without God, leaving God out. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. So as the world began to populate, look in chapter number 6. There was advancement and achievement. Chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply. I don't believe God was just saying that they added a few hundred people. I believe that there was a population explosion, and there was just the world began to increase in number. It began to increase in intelligence and knowledge, and there was advancement, there was achievement, there was already that. But then in these days of Noah, they began to grow, and then not only was there advancement and achievement, but look in chapter number 6 and verse number 5, with advancement and achievement and people going away from God, look what happens in chapter 6 of Genesis and verse number 5. The Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now, I believe that the population explosion has something to do with that. The more people you have going away from God, the more ungodliness you're going to have. And the Bible says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Look at this next statement. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's real. That's real. People just sit around and thought about ways that they could do wrong. They devised ways to do evil unto other people. The scripture says not only was there advancement and achievement, there was arrogance, there was pride, there was apostasy. Then look in verse number 11, there was anarchy. You know what anarchy is? It's people who will not give. It's a state of mind. It's rebellion when people will not give submission to the authority that God has put in place. Isn't that a lot like our day? I mean, people just abhor. Listen, they can't stand authority. There are people who say, well, nobody is going to tell me what to do. Well, I've got news for you. There will be always somebody telling you what to do. Amen. Always. You say, well, they're not going to tell me what to do, preacher. You live that way long enough and there'll be somebody telling you what to do while you're behind bars. So you need to, listen, you need to get rid of that attitude as soon as possible, like right now. And so there was anarchy. Notice what the Bible says. And then we're talking about the bad news of Noah's day. The bad news. The bad news was that this is what the world had become. This is what the world had become. God never intended it to be this way. God made a man. God made a woman. And God put them in paradise. And God said, listen, I want you to enjoy life. And I want you to be fruitful. And I want you to multiply. And I want you to replenish the earth. And I want you to enjoy the life that I have given. And man chose the contrary. Man chose his way. Man rebelled against God. And then this is what the world had become in Noah's day. In verse number 11, the Bible says this, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Filled with it. Anarchy. No one going to tell me what to do. Nobody going to restrict me with their laws and tell me how to live. Then look at verse number 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. The scripture says, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said in verse number 13 unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God was displeased. So here's the picture. The picture is there was advancement in the early ages. And there was achievement, as we saw. There were people who were artificers of brass, and they were musicians. We read that in chapter 4, remember? They were people who were in trade and commerce, and the world was advancing and growing. And then there was a population explosion. There were multiplication of man upon the earth. But with that multiplication of man and with that those people going away from God and leaving God out, they achieved some things, but it was some things that did not promote godliness and well-being and good living. It's not just enough to exist. So that's just not enough. And yet we live in a society today that was just like this society where people became comfortable with that. We're okay just to go through life and have stuff. Listen, that doesn't define life. That doesn't define life. Just to have things that, you know, entertainment and things that we can tinker with and toy with and build and work with our hands. That doesn't define life. Life, the chief purpose of man is to glorify God. Life is to know the purpose that God put you here for. There was a time in my life when I really began to wonder and I began to search inward in my heart and in my soul. Why am I here? What am I doing here? What is this? What is life all about? I believe every person at one time will begin to give thought to that. Perhaps there's someone here even today that has been given thought to that. What am I doing here? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? God has the answer. God has a purpose. Every person that God has put upon the face of the earth, God attaches a purpose to their being here. And so we see the advancement and achievement, the arrogance, the apostasy, the anarchy. And then I want you to notice something that's just very, it's kind of simple, but it says a lot about the society of that day that went away from God, and we're seeing it today. You'll remember back in chapter 4, there was a man who said, in chapter 4, there was a man by the name of Lamech, and he said, you know, I don't want one wife, I want two. I don't want just one, I want two. Most men can't handle the one they have. You just need one, like God said. Say amen with me. Listen, we don't get to pick and choose. And I said this last week, and I want you to listen very carefully. If you're okay with a man having more than one wife, there's something deeply wrong with your way of thinking. So I think a man ought to have as many wives as he wants. You think a man ought to have a man? Yeah, I'm okay with that. That's unnatural. Think a woman ought to have a woman? Yeah, I'm okay with that, man. Woman have whatever she wants. Listen, that's unnatural. God said that's an abomination. Where do you draw the line on all of this, brethren? See, God set it up. God said one man, one woman. Amen. Now, I want you to notice here, as you look in chapter number 4, that man Lamech, in verse number 23, it says in chapter 4, verse 23, the book of Genesis, and Lamech said unto his wives, I'm not okay with that. You ought not be okay with that. What was happening in this day? People were taking lightly the marriage vows. They were taking lightly the institution of marriage. Don't you take the institution of marriage lightly. You enter into that covenant with some seriousness. It's a serious thing. God has placed upon the institution of marriage a soberness and a seriousness and a permanency. And we live in a day of throwaway marriages. And I say, brethren, that God is not pleased with it. And we come to Noah's day, and I want you to notice what the Bible says that men did when they wanted a wife. Look in chapter number 6. Now, if you're not careful, you'll read by this and miss it. Someone's going to leave the service today and say, well, you know, the preacher says that it doesn't matter. You shouldn't marry a pretty woman. I married one, so it means something to me. So don't you leave here saying the preacher said that looks don't matter. I'm not getting ready to promote that, but what I am getting ready to tell you is looks is not all that matters. You don't get to just throw away your wife and get you one that looks better. That's what was going on this day. Notice what the scripture says here in verse number 2. The Bible says, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were godly. Is that what it says? No. They wasn't looking for someone godly in it that wanted to live for God and someone that wanted a family and a home and do things God's way. They were looking at the outward beauty and they were looking at their looks and they were saying, you know what? I want her because she looks good. There's something deeper than that. If that's all your relationship's built on, it's shallow at best. And that's what happened in this day. The days of Noah, anarchy, apostasy, adultery, throwaway marriages, all kinds of things going on. And the Bible says that this day right here was summed up with God giving an announcement. I want you to notice in chapter number 6, look if you would in verse number 13. God made an announcement, and he said, Noah, he said, I am going to destroy the earth. Look at verse number 17 of chapter number 6 of the book of Genesis. He said, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. God made an announcement. And you know what Noah did? You read in 2 Peter, and Noah, the Bible says, was a preacher of righteousness. Now stay with me. I know this is bad news. But it's news that the Bible wants us to learn from. And the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And he went about and he was telling folks, hey, brethren, he said, hey, I want you to listen to me. God's getting ready to destroy the earth. He's going to send a flood. And Noah began to build an ark. This time it hadn't even rained. So I want you to bear this in mind. Noah bore the brunt of a lot of ridicule. He and his family. You could hear them. You could hear the people today. Could you imagine? All of these things were going on. And people no doubt were making fun of Noah. You see what Noah's doing down there? He's building something he calls a boat. An ark, he says. Said God was going to destroy the world. Said, and I'll bring that up to our day. Said the Lord was coming back. Boy, you Christians are a bunch of alarmists. The Lord's coming back. Well, I tell you, those Christians, yeah, I guess you're going to take an offering before you preach that too, right, preacher? Huh? Isn't that the day we're living in? Just like this day. Bad news here. Bad news. You know what probably the worst thing in all of this is? Look, if you would, in verse number 3 of chapter number 6. The Lord has said, I'm going to destroy the earth. I don't like what's going on. And in verse number 3, the Bible says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. In other words, I'm being patient. I'm getting the message out. I don't like what's going on. And man is turning my message away. Man is saying, we don't have time for God. I've been hearing that all of my life. Could you imagine Noah? preaching. Over 100 years, 120 years, Noah preaching. Could you imagine after so many years people saying, Noah, why don't you shut up? You've been saying this is going to go on for many years. How dare you to do your family that way? I feel sorry for Noah's children. I tell you that, Noah, he's just too religious. Huh? He makes his children work on that boat all day. Huh?
Yeah.
Can you hear it? Well, Noah doesn't even let his children go down to the local club with the other young people. Lighten up, Noah. Hey, Noah's got a message.
Right.
And it's from heaven. And it's getting ready to come to pass. Well, we can't see it on the horizon. That doesn't mean it's not coming. Bad news. Bad news. Right here, just read it. The society of the pre-flood, what's called the antediluvian, the pre-flood days, right here, Noah. And that generation of people. All right? Now we go over to Matthew. I'm going to ask you to turn there. Matthew, turn there with me in chapter number 24. And there's so much more I could say about that. But in Matthew 24, Jesus done something that I want you to take note of. Jesus placed a stamp of approval on the flood in Noah's day. So anytime that you hear somebody ridiculing and doubting the flood, it's not against Noah. It's not against what really happened. What they're really trying to do is say Jesus is a liar. See, this world is no friend of grace. This world is no friend of Jesus Christ now. And so any way that they can approach and attack Jesus, they're going to come at him. And Jesus said right here in Matthew 24, look at it, in verse number 37, he said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What did Jesus just do there? Our Lord Jesus Christ just said that the days of Noah were so. He put his stamp of approval on the days of Noah. And he said Noah was a real character, not just some fictitious being. And there was a catastrophic flood in his day. And he placed his stamp of approval. Now, I gave you the bad news, and I'm going to give you the sad news before we move on to the glad news. The bad news is, in the days of Noah, it was rough. I mean, there was corruption and violence and anarchy and apostasy and apathy. People didn't care. God calling out saying, hey, I'm going to destroy the earth. We don't have time for that, preacher. Hey, will you and your family come down and be a part of what's going on at the ark? No, we got a lot going on. We don't have time to come down there. Now Jesus said this in verse number 37 of chapter 24 of the book of Matthew. He's talking about the coming of the Son of Man. He's talking about him coming back. Today when you mention Jesus coming back, people laugh. They look at you kind of funny. Just the way they looked at Noah and his family. But guess what? What was funny to them wasn't funny long. And what's funny to a generation of people today is not going to be funny long. I do not say that wishing that these people will meet the just meat of their reward. I hope that these people get saved and they get turned around and they'll begin to realize what the Bible says is so. But I do want you to notice what Jesus brought out here. Look, if you would, what he mentions. He said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And then it says in verse number 39, this is what I want you to really look at. This is the sad news. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, what is Jesus saying here? He said, I want you to revisit the days of Noah. And I want you to see how society was, where people were just going on with life and they were leaving God out. Now, many of those people were violent and they were involved in apostasy and adultery and anarchy. But now, some of them were not. But all of them were just going through life disregarding the fact that there is a God. And God holds us accountable unto him. And that's what Jesus said here. Let's look at it again. He said, as the days that were before the flood, verse 38, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Can you see it? A lot to talk about back then, wasn't there? You know what happened before the building of the ark? God allowed some things to take place to try to get people's attention. Do you know God's trying to get our attention today? Did you know that? God will allow things to happen to try to get our attention. He sure will. He sure will. So, oh, preacher, I'm not going to pay attention. That's okay. God will get your attention sooner or later, one way or the other. But God's going to get your attention. He sure is. I can see them now. Remember the man named Enoch? Interesting character was Enoch. Sure was. Enoch was the man that in the midst of everyone dying, God took him alive into heaven. I can see the people as the Lord Jesus said, the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying. In other words, they were just going through life, doing what people do. This is just what we do, preacher. Don't have time for church. Don't want to read the Bible. Don't want to hear what God has to say. Don't want to be accountable to God. Don't want to seek God's will. Don't want to get concerned about the souls of men. But we just going through life doing our thing. And people have some conversation pieces. Let's talk about three of them. Enoch. I can see him down now at the corner market. Hey, how's it going today? Well, I seen old Noah and the boys out there working on the ark again. Yeah, I know. That's a boring bunch, isn't it? That's a boring bunch. All they do is work, work, work. Church, church, church. It's a boring bunch. Hey, by the way, what about old Enoch? I don't know. They haven't found him yet. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that they didn't find him, that he was not to be found. Isn't that what the scripture says? He was found not. What about old Enoch? I don't know. Man, that's strange, isn't it? You know, I don't agree with old Enoch, but he was a pretty good old fella. Well, I guess he was. He walked with God. Isn't that what the Bible says? What do you reckon happened to old Enoch? I don't know. You know, Enoch was kind of strange. There's no telling what happened to him. Well, you know, there's Enoch. Then there's Methuselah. You reckon that old codger ever die? Huh? You reckon he'll ever die? Well, now, you know, Methuselah's a good man. Yeah, he's a good man. He's done a lot of good for our community. But I tell you, he just lives and lives. You reckon he'll ever die? Oh, he'll die sooner or later, I guess. Right? People talking about things like it's just everyday happening. Nothing's ever going to change. One day, you know, they'll explain Enoch away. One day, Methuselah will die and there'll be nothing going on. That's sad. You know what the Bible says they did? They just went about life, look at it, until the flood came and took them all away. I want you to think about that for a moment. Did you know the Bible says that 7 days, read it when you get home this evening, 7 days before the flood, Noah began making final preparations. He began getting everything on board. He began checking everything out. And then God said in chapter 7 of the book of Genesis, he said, Noah, come thou and all thy family into the ark. He didn't say go into it. He said, come. I'm glad God will be with us in the storms, aren't you? He said, come on, Noah. And you know what the Bible says in chapter number 7 and verse number 16? God shut the door. Right? Is that what it says, brethren? It's what the Bible says. God shut the door. You know why? Because there's no way you'll ever convince me that when it started raining, people quit laughing. All of a sudden, Noah wasn't a fool. Church wasn't a farce. Noah's family wasn't a quack. Maybe what Noah said, he said that there was a flood and it's raining. Yeah, but it's just raining for one day. Day 10. We're getting concerned. Day 20. We're very concerned. It's washing things away. We're having to move to higher elevations. We're very concerned. Right? Maybe there's room on the ark for us. Huh? Maybe that boat was so big that there's room on the ark for us. And they start trying to make their way down to the ark. Brethren, I got to tell you, there'll be some people when Jesus comes back that's going to be deceived. And they're going to believe all kinds of lies, but there'll also be some people, I believe with all of my heart, that'll know something is not right. Did you know, as I talk to people even today, there is an atmosphere of impending doom. There's movies about the apocalypse. There's movies, I'm talking about Hollywood movies. I'm not talking about people who profess to be Christians. I'm talking about people of Hollywood who know nothing about God. They begin to write movies and books and do series on the end of time and the world's coming to an end and the apocalypse. You know why? Because there's just this feeling in the air. Something's on the horizon. There is something on the horizon. Jesus is coming back. You say, well, preacher, you can't prove he's coming back today, and you can't prove he's not. Jesus is coming back. I don't know when he's coming back. I just know he's coming back. God told Noah, he said, I want you to get on the ark. Now listen to me. And when God got Noah and his family on the ark, God shut that door. And when God shut that door, it not only shut Noah and his family in, it shut everyone else out. Done. Hear me and hear me well. We live in an age of grace, and I'm so thankful to God that this is the grace age, the grace dispensation. But when the door of this age closes, brother, listen to me. Done. Over. Sealed. Final. There'll be no people laughing then. Everyone that laughed at Noah, everyone that laughed at his sons, everyone that laughed at his children, everyone that made fun and mocked and cursed God and said that it's not real and said that Noah was a lunatic and that church was just a for people with a crutch and laughed and sneered. Now they're begging Noah, they're begging God. God, have mercy on me. Noah, let me in, God. Listen, if you won't let me in, Noah, please let my children in. Please, God, please, Noah, open this door and let us in. But God shut that door. There's going to be havoc upon this earth like we've never seen before. Never. But the door's shut. It's done. I'm glad that I know what it is to be in. I'm not on the outside looking in. I'm on the inside looking out. Where are you at? Can I tell you, a little religion's not going to get you through the storm that's coming. You listen to me now. Playing church, going through a form, a formality, having mom and dad's little religion, that's not going to do it, brethren. It takes a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The bad news, Noah's day. The sad news, these people did not take time to be holy. Matthew 24, you see it? They were eating and drinking. I'm a pretty good person. You ever talk to somebody and that's what they tell you? My friend, may I talk with you? Has there ever been a time in your life that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? First words out of their mouth, I'm a pretty good person. That wasn't the question. That's not the question. The question is, has there ever been a time in your life you saw yourself as a sinner and trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's the question. These people did not take time to be holy. Life had consumed them. Doesn't life have a way of doing that? Busy, busy, busy. Busy, busy, busy. Let's get our ushers to get a little air in here. A little stuffy. Could y'all help us out, ushers? A little stuffy. Yeah, just thank you. Brother Richard, Brother Greg, where you at? You help out on this side. Let's get a little air flowing if it's just air. Busy, busy, busy. Thank you, men. No time for God. That's the age that we live in. No time for God. No time for God. I wonder what kind of time you have for God. What about me? Do we have time to be holy? Or is it just up, rush out the door, go on with the day of life, and then rush, 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 then come in and rush, then get in the bed, and then get to the next day and do it all over again. Rush, rush, rush. See, that's what was going on here. Listen, I'm for family life. I'm for full schedules. I think it's great. But I don't want to get to the place in my life, and I pray that you don't either, to where you're too busy for God. We don't want to get to the place of where we eat and we drink, we marry, we give in marriage, we build, we're just going through life, and God is not a big part of it. I want God to be a very big part of my life. How about you? And sometimes I have to have God to check me and say, hey, you need to slow down. You need to take some time to spend with me. Right? God ever have to do you that way? So the bad news, the days of Noah were real. The sad news is that we're living in the days of Noah, where people's just going through the motions and they're just going on with life, and you try to talk to them. I've literally had people tell me these exact words. I don't have time to come to church, preacher. Sunday's the only day I got. I'm busy 6 days a week. Sunday's my day of rest. I don't have time for church. Not that going to heaven is directly attached to going to church. But what people say when they say that, what they mean is, I don't have time for God things. Life has become all about me. Right? And it can be that way for us. Please. I would warn you today, if your life is so busy that you can't spend time in the Word and pray and minister to other people and be concerned about what God's will for your life and God's way for your life is, I would ask you today to reconsider your approach to life. The sad news. And then I'll close with this as we go back to Genesis chapter number 6. We'll close with this. The glad news. So we saw the bad news. The bad news is the days of Noah were real. I want you to dismiss from your mind now the Neanderthal. They're insulting your intelligence as they lie to you. This book says differently. This book is always right. Always. Oh, no, it's not. Prove me wrong. You be sure now to come to me after the service and show me where this book's not right. Quit listening to what other people say and get in that book. And if you can find something that's not so in that book, you come to me. I'll receive you in a good spirit. This book is God's Word. And God makes no mistakes, and God has never lied. The bad news. The sad news. The days of Noah are here. They are. People are not prepared for Jesus to come. Did you read what Jesus said? They were busy, busy, busy until the day the flood came and took them all the way. Then they realized, oh my goodness, I've been living for the wrong cause. I've been living for the wrong cause. It's like the proverbial man that I mentioned over and over in some of my preaching. Climb the ladder, reach the top, and find out your ladder's leaned up against the wrong building. You don't want your life to come to that place. It's where you've lived your life, you've invested in everything about you and what you can have, and then realize when judgment comes, I've been living for the wrong cause. But there's some good news. These are perilous times. God said they would come, but I'm glad I can still live for Him. I'm glad you can still live for Him. Enoch did. Noah did. You're in chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse number 8. Even though everybody around him was living in sin, living for their self, the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah made a decision. And his decision was, I'm going to live right. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to have some scruples and some morals and some principle to my life. You can live that way too. I can live that way too. It's a choice. Noah said, I'm going to live for God. Enoch did it. Did you know that in chapter number 4, the book of Genesis, in chapter number 6, we have two men who walk with God? It's the only two men in all the Bible that says that walk with God. Enoch and Noah. What a testimony. Enoch prophesied, the book of Jude says. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, Peter said. God kept warning these people and warning these people. They wouldn't heed the warnings. But the greatest warning of all was a warning of grace. We'll close with this. I want you to look in chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 24 of chapter 5 of the book of Genesis that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But it says that Methuselah, whom Enoch begat after he was 65 years old, he had a son by the name of Methuselah. And then Enoch began to walk with God. You know, there's something about having a child that'll change your perspective on things, won't it? Isn't that right, parents? There's something about having a child that'll change your perspective. It changed Enoch. He lived 65 years. And then the Bible says, look back if you would there in chapter number 5. Notice if you would in verse number 21. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Verse 22 says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Something happened in Enoch's life. It took on a different perspective, a soberness. He began to look toward God for direction in his life. I need God to direct my life. You do too. Whether we realize it or not, we need God's help. But then God did something. God said, you know, he said, I'm going to give a message. And I'm going to pin it on this little baby named Methuselah. Now listen, if you're getting ready to have a baby, I wouldn't recommend you name your baby Methuselah. But now if you want to, go ahead. All right, go for it. When you begin to search this word Methuselah, it's kind of divided. You know, some say it is sent, some say when he is gone it is sent. But either way, it's a message that God's getting ready to do something. And he sent it with this baby right here, Methuselah. Look at it. Now, I want you to, we got any people who do pretty good math in the congregation? If you do good math, raise your hand. Bunch of dummies. Hey, man. You mean to tell me we got almost 200, probably over 200 people in here, and nobody can do any math? You're just modest, right? Okay. Well, I've done the math for you, so how about that? Amen? Can you follow math? All right, you can follow math. All right, let's look at it. I want you to see the grace of God. This is the glad news. We've looked at the bad news. We've looked at the sad news, but this is the glad news. That even in the midst of judgment, God mingles mercy. I'm so glad that God's a God of grace. See, God wants to save people. God wants to get involved in people's lives. It's we that are shutting God out, not God that is shutting us out. It's people who say, I don't want anything to do with God. We want God out of our schools. We want God out of our society. We want God out of the church. I mean, people just shutting God out of everything. The Bible says here in chapter number 5 of the book of Genesis, it says in verse number 25 that Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Now how old was Methuselah when he begat Lamech? 187. All right, that's 187 years. All right, then the Bible says, if you go on down in verse number 27, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years old, and he died. How old was Methuselah when he died? All right, 900, how old? Okay, now listen, that's not math. That's just kind of repeating what I said. Don't get nervous. You don't have to do any math there. Just have to repeat what I said. 969. All right? Who's the oldest man that ever lived that's recorded in the Bible? Methuselah. 969 years. When he was how old, he begat a child. 187. So at the age of 187. So it's 187 years after Methuselah was alive, he begat a son. Now drop down in verse number 28 there. And Lamech lived 182 years, and he begat a son, and he called his son what? Noah. So you've got Methuselah, when he begat Lamech, was 187. And then his son lived 182 years, and he begat who? Noah. So how many years old is Methuselah right now? 187 to 182. Somebody say it louder. 369 years. How old was Noah when the flood came? 600 years old. Look at chapter number 7. Look at chapter 7. Now listen, if you can't do math, don't try. The Bible says in chapter 7, the book of Genesis, in verse number 6, "And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth." You with me? What's 369 and 600? 969. 369 and 600 is 969. How old was Methuselah when he died? God sent the flood when Methuselah died. Who was the oldest man that ever lived? Methuselah. What's God trying to say? God will give you time. There's something you need to know about God today as we close our service, and I ask you to stand. There's something, listen, this is the glad news. You need to know something about God today. You read the book of Genesis and then chapter 6, and if you're not careful, you look at that and you'll say, God is mean. God is a God of judgment, and God, he wiped out the earth with a flood, and God is mean, and God will curse us, and God will destroy us. He will if you don't repent. But that's not all about God that you need to know. You need to know this about God. God sent a young man by the name of Methuselah with a message attached to him to Enoch. And God told Enoch, "I want you to preach, and I want you to preach." And he prophesied that the Lord was coming. Read the book of Jude sometimes. And the Bible, when Methuselah, every year he lived, God was saying, "I'm long-suffering." Now this is something you need to know about God. He's long-suffering. You say, "I don't even know what long-suffering means, preacher." It means he's patient. I am so glad that God is patient. You see, the first time God ever spoke to me, I turned a deaf ear to him. And I don't know how many times God spoke to me and spoke to me. Now, there's no guarantee that God will ever speak to you a second time. So don't you take God's grace for granted. But God speaks and he speaks, and God spoke and he spoke, and God sent this man. He lived 969 years old, which is a testament to the forbearance and the long-suffering and the patience of God. See, that's the glad news. The glad news is that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It doesn't have to be all bad news. Yes, the society in Noah's day was evil and wicked. Yes, we live in a society that is evil and wicked, just like Noah's day. And that's sad. But the glad news is that God loves you. And God sent his son Jesus to die for your sin. And he was buried and he rose again. And you can trust him. And you can be safe in him. And you will have the judgment removed from your life. There'll be no more condemnation in your life if you will trust Christ as your Savior. That's the glad news. The glad news. The grace, the forbearance, the long-suffering of God. There is bad news. And there's sad news. But this morning, I want us to leave with the thought of some glad news. And that is that God is not willing that any should perish. You've got some friends that are outside the ark. You listen to me now. And the ark is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ. If you're in Christ, you're going to be safe through the storm. Hear me now. That boat took all the beating. That boat took everything that the storm had to offer. But those inside the boat, inside that ark, were safe. I don't believe there was one leak, one drop of water got inside that ark. It was pitched within and without. And we who are in Christ are safe from the storm that is to come. Are you inside the ark? Are you in Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? Let's bow our heads together.